Okay. Just a quick prayer. Thank you, Abba, that the Barbers are back with us and that they were able to share the love of this Kahal throughout this country. And we're just blessed that they are still here with us and part of our congregation. And I do pray that in this Haftorah, that your heart is spoken and that we all have the hearts to receive the words. Yeshua's name. Okay, so this part is, for me, I called it Generations, 1 Kings 2, 1 through 12. In Genesis 15, 5, God spoke to Abraham, saying, "Look at the sky and count the stars if you're able to count them. Your offspring will be that numerous." And he goes on and said, "I am the Lord who brought you up from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." In Genesis 25, 4 through 5, God told Isaac, "I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I'll give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, my instructions." Going forward in Genesis, God told Jacob in a dream, "I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you your offspring, you and your offspring, the land that you are now sleeping on. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." Going forward, God tells them, "A nation indeed, an assembly of nations will come from you, and kings will descend from you." As Jacob blesses his sons, his blessings for Joseph include statements that Joseph is a fruitful vine. "The blessings of your father excel the blessings of my ancestors and the bounty of the eternal hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the prince of his brothers." When Israel claimed Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, as his own, in this Torah portion, he said, "May he bless these boys, and may they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow to be numerous within the land." The blessing continued, "With Israel will invoke blessings by you, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, putting Ephraim before Manasseh." For me, I thought it was really important that when he's giving the blessings to the others, he's saying Jacob is blessing. But in this, he says, Israel made this blessing. So it's the everlasting and the spiritual, not Jacob as a mortal man who gave that blessing. The Haftorah portion describes the blessing that King David is giving to his son Solomon as David prepares to die. David likely pondered words that came to him through the prophet Nathan many years earlier in 2 Samuel. In that prophecy, God says he will be a father to David's descendant. He said, "Your house and kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever." David tells Solomon, "Be strong and brave, and keep your obligation to the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes, commandments, judgments, and testimonies. This is written in the law of Moses so that you will have success in everything you do and wherever you turn." He reiterates that promise that God made to him. "If your sons are careful to walk faithfully before me with their whole mind and heart, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." In each of these examples of the fathers of the faith giving blessings to their sons as they die, the same basic message is repeated over and over. In each one, the father recalls a meeting with God and the words that he spoke over them. And God also speaks to the sons, but the fathers are passing on the message they received. And they're passing on these instructions and their hearts. The message includes instructions on leadership, instructions on handling their strengths and their weaknesses, how to live their lives before their generations. David tells his son to be strong and to be brave. He tells him about unfinished business that Solomon needs to take care of. Some of that wasn't so pleasant, you know, but it was a way of saying, watch for weaknesses in your kingdom and be aware and take care of things. So he tells him how to run a kingdom, basically. But most of all, David instructs Solomon to walk in the ways of God, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. Each of the patriarchs passed those same words of wisdom to their sons before they died because they knew it was imperative for the continuation of their generations and for their success. They knew no other life was going to be satisfactory. So the times of David were turbulent, much like our world today. There were arguments with the North and South, arguing over Saul and David. In spite of his many failings, though, David consistently is described as a man after God's own heart. He rose from being a shepherd. And what did he learn? He's alone out in the fields learning how to commune with God, how to navigate just survival. He's a psalmist. He's a harpist. And then he becomes a warrior, and eventually he's king. In each of those things, he was learning how to lead and how to speak with God and hear from him. More has been written about David than pretty much any other biblical character in Scripture. And there's so much that we can learn about his reign. And I thought about that, you know, in this Torah portion. Should I talk about him slaying Goliath? What should I talk about? But at first glance, the Haftor seems to be just one more of the patriarchs' last will and testament to their sons as they're getting ready to leave the world. And the stories connect the dots to how the line of Abraham continues generation to generation leading up to Yeshua and beyond. But what about it connects us today? Is there a practical application for us in our daily lives? I think the lesson today is clear when we recognize that we are the sons and the children of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph, and of David. We're given the promise that our generations are promised to continue to thrive, to grow, to lead, and to prosper. The messages these men gave, generation after generation, give instruction on how to walk for these God-given promises to be fulfilled. So as his children, he has left the same instructions for us to pass to our children, our generations. The generations aren't limited to biological children. There's many of us in here that don't have biological children, but they include our friends, our fellow believers, our extended families. I don't have kids, but my sister does. They're a part of my generations. All the children in this hall are part of our generations. We're children. We're part of our generations. So we have instructions to share and to live out long before our day's end. I'm not ready to go quite yet. The instructions are repeated over and over. Be strong and be brave. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Walk in his ways. Love him with your whole heart, your mind, and your strength. Keep his statutes. Keep his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. The world seems out of control right now. Trust is hard. I've lost faith in just about every institution there is. Most of us have. But we're still called to stand. We're called to continue the generations that began with Abraham in representing our God and bringing his ways into the world. The instructions are given over and over through the dying words of the patriarchs to their children. And now we're called to pass those same instructions to our generations, even as we still breathe. We're called to live by them. We're called to live his ways out before the world, even when it's hard. We're called to be instruments that he uses to bring his kingdom to earth in spite of the chaos that we're facing. Our eyes may not see it happen. We know there's still storms that are raging, and there's more to come. Yet we also have the promise that generation to generation, as we live out the instruction that he gives us, all nations will be blessed through us. And bit by bit, generation to generation, his kingdom will be established on the earth.